Well, it's not only a favourite passage, it has my favourite verse in. It means a lot to me. Verse 16. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." I was brought up in a loving home, but not a committed Christian one. Though my grandmothers both had faith and I knew they prayed for me. My parents had me baptized because they thought it was the right thing to do, and they kept their promise and they sent me to the Sunday school. They didn't attend church themselves. My brother and Steve got sent off. I think they could have some time on a Sunday morning, but we went. And my brother didn't stay as long as me. He got a bit bored of cutting things out and sticking them in books and things like that. I persisted with it and joined the uniformed organizations. And before long, I made a Christian commitment. And I knew before I made that commitment that the Holy Spirit was at work in my life, wooing me towards God, leading me to Jesus. I made a commitment at my confirmation. It was April Fool's Day, 1979, and it wasn't a joking matter, it was really serious. I stood before my family and said, "This is what I believe." And it changed my life and changed it for the better. Incidentally, my brother Steve, 6 years later, went to a Rob Frost musical, Visions. He was invited to go and he became a Christian and he found faith. My parents wondered what on earth was going on. And both of us are still on fire for the Lord. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, Tony and Steve, but I chose you." And God used all sorts of people and all sorts of experiences and led us gently to faith. When I became a Christian, I eventually got very involved in the youth group and I became the youth leader. Got much in common with Eden. My journey then meant I took my Christian faith very seriously, and eventually I left work as a stockbroker in the city and gave up my successful second career as a DJ and went to Bible. You laugh? I did very well. I went to Bible college. And then I left Bible college and went back to my home church to be a pastoral assistant. Eventually, I felt called to the ordained ministry. In those days, I lacked confidence. And when I went forward for the candidates' exams, I never thought I would get through. I'm a very slow writer. That's why I love computers. My handwriting is very slow. I'm left-handed. And the superintendent at the time said, "You've got to get over 50%. I said, "How am I going to do that?" He said, "I'm praying." So he left me alone, and I panicked, and I did my best. I got 51%. "You did not choose me, but I chose you." I ended up as a grade A candidate, and this September will be my 35th year in my ministry. And I thank God for his grace. An ordinary boy from Epsom called by the Lord. Jesus said, "I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." And God is still calling people today. And sometimes before they know anything of it, it might not be to the ordained ministry, but it might be for some even here that it is. Our Creator simply longs for all of us to turn towards his divine love and follow Jesus and find their vocation, whatever that is. And basically, it's living out that command to love wherever our journey takes us. And everyone will have a different journey. We are a diverse congregation here, with people of all kinds of employment and background and education. And it doesn't matter, because when we come together, we are just a people who God can use. And if we would tell stories, those who've become Christians here, of how you came to faith, I guess many of you will say that God was niggling away by his Holy Spirit in your life long before you made that commitment. Long before you even knew it, God was at work. John Wesley believed that salvation begins with prevenient grace. It's the work of the Holy Spirit drawing us to our Maker, acting in our lives before we're even aware of it. St. Paul in Romans 5, verse 8, put it this way: God shows his love for us because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us because he loved us. God loves us. He wants us to find our Heavenly Father. And this is prevenient grace, sometimes called preceding grace or enabling grace, where the Holy Spirit works in our lives, drawing us towards God. And it's foundational in Wesleyan theology. Wesley's theology was formed from Western Augustinian tradition, but also from Arminianism, and the Anglican Church had an influence on him as well. Wesley likened prevenient grace as the porch on a house. It's where you prepare to enter the house. That God's grace is working in our lives before we even enter the body of Christ and be a part of it. Well, in our reading today, Acts 10, we see the end of a wonderful example of prevenient grace. We only heard the end of that chapter this morning. I would love to have read it all, but the service would have gone on to 3 o'clock. So in our verses for today's lesson, we hear how the Spirit had been at work in the lives of Cornelius and his family and his friends. It was the work of the Spirit advancing the mission of the church and deepening the understanding of the church as well. And it's not apostle-led, it's Holy Spirit-led. First, by God's grace, the Spirit is at work in the life of Cornelius. You can read it later. He was a Gentile centurion. He was a generous man. He feared God. He wasn't yet a Christian. And yet Cornelius was given a vision of God speaking his name, Cornelius. And he was told to send for Peter in Joppa. And the Holy Spirit was at work before his faith blossomed. And the Holy Spirit is also at work through Peter, who was, of course, a Christian, a follower of Jesus. And three times he has a troubling dream about a large sheet descending down from heaven by its four corners. And he's urged to eat creatures, clean and unclean. All before he went to meet the Gentile God-fearer Cornelius. You see, the Holy Spirit was at work through Peter, was at work through Cornelius. Gordon said something about this last week, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit working and bringing people together. And Peter finds that he'd been invited to meet Cornelius by an angel. And he says, "It was good of you to come. Now we're all here in the presence of God to listen to everything that the Lord has commanded you to tell us." And then Peter began to speak. "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts every nation, the one who fears him and does what is right." Peter then sees the opportunity from this Gentile to preach the good news. And he preaches to him and his relatives and his friends that Jesus is the judge of the living and the dead, and that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness and sins through his name. And then we get to our reading that was read for us. How then, filled with the Holy Spirit, just like at Pentecost, if you like, this is the Gentile Pentecost. And people are astonished to see the Holy Spirit entering the lives of these Gentiles. And yet Peter realizes the gospel is for all people now. The Gentiles are then baptized, welcomed into the body of Christ. And Peter stays with them for a while. It's very significant because he would have eaten with them as well. We see how suddenly the mission of the church is becoming for all people. In Acts chapter 8, we had an Ethiopian who was the first recorded Gentile convert. And then here in Caesarea, which was a Jewish center, Luke tells how the gospel comes to the Gentile Roman world. Here begins that movement in Acts of the Apostles that we read about in Acts 1, from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. Up until Acts chapter 10, the church believers had fixed ideas about who was in and who was out of their community. From now on, the church was to be a diverse, multicultural community for all people, Gentiles as well as Jews. They had the right to access God's grace just as anyone else. And that was a work of the Holy Spirit. After all, Jesus had commanded the disciples to love one another, to love all people. I believe every person in this world is loved unconditionally by God. The saddest thing is that people don't know his love and don't turn towards it. I think everyone who's drawn to say a prayer or fall to their knees, even though they may not go to church, I believe is experiencing something of God's grace in their lives, the Holy Spirit at work within them, prompting them to pray, to call out. Now, if that's the case, let's not make the church and our communities places which are only for people like us. The church should be a porch, a place where people can come and be welcomed, can come and see, to be loved, to be embraced, to be helped, to hear teaching. A place where people can explore their spirituality and reach out and perhaps find God through Christ. I hope there are people here this morning who are not Christians, who have not yet found faith. You are very welcome in this place, and I hope this service is helpful. I hope the church will never be exclusive in the fact that we feel it's only for certain people. The church will never grow unless we open the doors and draw people in, people of faith and no faith, into this community of worship. And you are the ones who extend the invitation. And then there's a role, like my grandmother's, to pray for those that we engage with, that the Holy Spirit might be at work in their lives. Because I don't know about you, but I long for people to know that they're loved by God. Long for them to receive life in all its fullness. Can we make this church a place of welcome? A place where people can see how Christians love one another? And that's not always easy. But actually, it's one thing that Jesus commanded us to do, to love one another. A place where the Holy Spirit can be at work. Can we open our minds and our hearts and our doors to new people? Dare we let the Holy Spirit be at work? The church isn't ours, it's the Lord's. Vacate your seat. If a guest arrives, find somewhere else to sit. They should have the best seats. John 15, verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. The Christian community needs to be a community of love, needs to be a community that's receptive to the work of the Holy Spirit, working in ways that will surprise us. When we feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, like Peter did, will we respond? And the fruit of our discipleship is to share with whoever what the Father wishes us to share. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." Are we asking for the gracious Holy Spirit to work preveniently in people's lives? Who are you praying for today? Do you believe people can change? Do you believe you can change? The porch is also our way out to the world. If the church is a porch, this is also the place we pass through when we go back out again into the world. So here is a place that we pray that the Holy Spirit may be equipping us to go out to do those things that we don't know we're going to be doing in Christ's name. We're going to, yes, share the Christian faith, but to love those who are in need. The question is, do we want what the Lord wants? It might seem obvious, but actually that verse has a context. It's those who abide in Christ will get whatever they ask in Jesus' name, because we're asking the right things. Are we willing to pursue that which the Lord is calling us towards? Carpe diem is a Latin saying from 23 BC. It's usually translated, "seize the day." I want to say today, carpe diem. Cornelius seized the day. Peter seized the day. What about you and what about me? Don't think that you're not good enough. It's not about you, it's about Jesus. Don't let your inadequacies, like I had at that time, prevent you from responding. Jesus says, "My grace is sufficient for you." And don't leave it to somebody else. God is calling you and me to be rooted in Christ, so that we bear fruit and find our vocation in Him. And that might be doing exactly what you're doing now, but doing it in a wonderful way for the Lord, or it might be to do something else. Jesus calls us simply to put love into action. Love is a verb. It's a doing word. And the Methodist Church believes it's called to be a growing, inclusive, evangelistic, justice-seeking church. I want to be part of that movement. I want to be part of a change in our world. And in a moment, we're going to sing together Charles Wesley's hymn, which is a wonderful hymn about prevenient grace. "Come sinners to the gospel feast." It reminds us that God is calling each one of us to live for Him. You and me. But the time to respond is carpe diem. Seize the day. It's today. Charles Wesley ends the hymn with these words: "This is the time, no more delay. This is the Lord's accepted day. Come in this moment at His call and live for Him who died for all." Jesus died for everyone here, died for the world. His heart is breaking because of the way the world is. I want to say to you today, will you be part of the answer and allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in you? We're going to sing this hymn, and without any fuss, if as we sing the hymn, for some reason today, and we don't need to know what it is, you just want to seize the day. You might want to just come to the front, stand for a moment, say a prayer, go to your seat. It might be that today is a time for you to say, I am committed in my faith and I want to stand for Jesus. Or I want my faith to be renewed. I'm struggling at the moment. May the Holy Spirit work in my life. It might be that you know somebody that you should be praying for and you just want to say, Lord, work in that person's life. I pray for them today. Or it could be that you know somebody who needs your love and you've not responded. Perhaps you've not been reconciled. And today is the day to seize the day. So there'll be no fuss. We're just going to sing the hymn. If you want to come to the front, say a prayer, go and sit down again. And then after the voluntary, at the end of the service, after I've done the blessing, some of our prayer team will be around if you want them to pray with you. But you might just want to have that moment and go and pray that the Holy Spirit will be released and bear fruit in your life. Let's sing together.